Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are you doing today?
Have a nice day, bro.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sun's just about setting. How you doing over there, Tony? Show's producer?
I'm doing awesome in the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I was just on a video conference call with some of our Blessed Hope Texas group last Sunday before the message, and one of the young boys there from Lucas's family and Lorena, he verbatim gave me the intro back to me as well.
That's pretty nice.
Good. That's pretty good. He said I talk a little too fast though, so it's hard. But nonetheless, here we are. We are really, really excited. We are continuing with our series on not just the book of Revelation, but we will be talking a lot about Revelation, specifically chapter 3, but we are really, really excited to continue our series on eschatology that we've been doing. We've been digging into this.
Yeah, we're not really in a series in Revelation, but we haven't talked about eschatology.
Yeah, like, eschatology, you know, as a whole, some of the doctrines. We've gone through, let's see, the millennium, the mm-hmm. different views concerning pre-millennial, post-millennial, or amillennial. We've gone through what preterism is,
yeah.
Full and partial preterism. We've gone through what the post-trib position is and what the pre-trib position
regarding
is.
Regarding the rapture, amen.
Regarding the rapture. So one of the things we've been doing is going through some of the main argumentation used, because that's what you want to do. We don't want to sit here and just say, hey, we have all these verses and we don't know what they're doing over there. Okay, we want to say, hey, let's always look at what is being said. And something that we have found, and hopefully through this, you guys have found as well, is typically when we find a quote-unquote, you know, verse for their position, it typically lends itself to the post-trib position. In fact, not just typically, I would say...
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
Yeah, so it doesn't just become a neutral verse, especially because it's speaking of the second coming. Then you start to realize, wow, this is speaking of the second coming, not a fictitious Johnny-come-lately pre-trib vanishing.
Exactly. And this next verse that we'll be going through is one, and we went through it a little bit last week, and we're going to go, well, a good whole half hour of it, and we're going to be going through it again
a little deeper
today, a little bit deeper, because we think it's really, really important, and we were talking about it. This is one of the most commonly used arguments that I've come across when it comes to their position as someone who holds to a pre-tribulation rapture, where the rapture takes place 7 years before the second coming, or before, right before, the 70th week of Daniel, as prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. So I'm going to read Revelation 3:10 and give a quick review on what we talked about last week, and then we're going to dig into the second part of this two-part word here we've been going over. The verse comes to Jesus speaking to the church of Philadelphia. Always remember also what is addressed at the end of every letter to every church here mentioned, to all seven churches, only two of which were not completely rebuked, or, you know, at least rebuked in some degree. And it says here to the church of Philadelphia, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And so last week, we specifically dealt over and over with the five examples that Tim LaHaye uses on how out from is used in
ek.
The scripture, yep. The word
ek.
Ek. So some of them, I'm just going to go over a couple. Some of them, he said out of Egypt. So what would we say to that? If they came out of
they
Egypt.
They were in Egypt first.
They were in Egypt. In yep. for me personally, and I'm only going to do these two, and we can get right into the text so that we can really dig into the Tereo part and how this combination word is used elsewhere in Scripture. But the one specifically, whenever we're looking at hermeneutics, when we can find a Greek word and find out that it is used specifically not only by the same author, not only in the same book, but even in the same chapter, we see it used in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when it specifically says to the church of Laodicea in a warning that Christ, Jesus, is going to spit them out of his mouth, or as we talked about, it actually means vomit out of their mouth. So to be vomited out means you were once in. So as we go through the text, we're going to go a little bit deeper on the other word regarding this issue, the tereo part of the tereo act, the coming out of.
There's two different Greek words here used, guys, and this is used as the most, the best supposedly preterist verse. Many preterists look at this as their best verse to prove the preterist rapture, even though it doesn't mention anything about a rapture here. And even though the church for the first 1800 plus years of church history never understood this to be talking about a pre-trib rapture, especially those in the first few centuries who knew Koine Greek there in the church in the West. So I think it's important, I should say the East. They handled the Greek manuscripts and so forth, and the early church believed they were going through the tribulation period if it was to happen in their lifetimes. And none of them comment. And we have comments for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in the book of Revelation. None of them comment on Revelation 3:10 as a pre-trib verse. By the way, Chad was talking about the word ek. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, the great promise of Revelation 3:10. It's a beautiful promise. I want to encourage you guys to really, not just realize what's right and wrong about understanding this verse, but I want you to really appreciate this verse by the time we get done with it and say, wow, that's a beautiful promise, but it doesn't have to do with a pre-trib rapture. It has to do with the Lord protecting us in the Great Tribulation and then getting us out of it safely and keeping us from falling away. So because you have kept the word of my perseverance, it's conditional. It's for those who have hit the word of his perseverance. I also will keep you from, and the word from is ek, the hour of testing. And by the way, the word ek, Chad was talking about as we really got pretty deep into it last week, the word ek there, that pre-trib will say, oh, look, that means out of, so he's going to keep us out of the tribulation. That means we're not going to go and do it. And as Chad pointed out with the two verses he just used that LaHaye uses, and we looked at those two and three others, five of them that LaHaye used, each and every example that LaHaye uses of the word ek has to do with a previous position of being in, because the word ek means emergence from out from within a sphere and coming out of the sphere. That doesn't fit the pre-trib rapture. The pre-tribbers teach that we are not going to go through even 1 minute of the tribulation period, that we're raptured before the tribulation period takes place. Therefore, the Greek word ek, which is used hundreds and hundreds of times in the scripture, the normal usage, and it's almost virtually just about every single time, is used of emergence from within, leaving a sphere and going out into another sphere. So because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from, meaning out of the sphere of the tribulation, and you'll emerge from out of it after you're in it, because that's what the word means in the Greek. That's what the lexicons tell us. That hour which is about to come out or come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. By the way, you don't even have to consult, you don't have to only, I should say, consult the lexicons are very helpful, but you can just look at how it's used over and over and over again, being spit out of his mouth, coming out of Egypt. And we use other examples as well, which are actually the Hayes examples, and I just showed you his best examples last week were faulty. So that word ek is important, and we'll look at that a little bit more, but I also want to look at the word tereo. And the only way we'll look at ek more really, besides one really just powerful usage of it, makes a landslide position, showing how ridiculous the pre-trib view is by trying to use Revelation 3:10, is the word tereo. Tereo means kept. Tereo. You might want to say that. Tereo. It's a Greek word for kept, preserved, protected.
You name your next son that.
Yeah, you could. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep, tereo, you from. So the word keep is from one Greek word, tereo, you from. Ek is the word ek, the hour of testing. So it's talking about being preserved, kept, and also delivered out of, at a certain point, the hour of testing. These two Greek words only show up one other time in the entire New Testament together. And it's in a passage I'm going to give you a little bit later. And when you look at those two passages, amen, Tony is like smiling over there because it's just such a grand slam verse, you know, because it shows you how Jesus uses it. Because, by the way, I'll just say, I'm not going to say the verse, but I'm just going to say this. It's also written by John. Mm-hmm. It's also said by Jesus. It's also two words used in the same verse. Yep. It also deals with him protecting us through some temptation.
And written down in front of me.
It actually destroys the idea of having to be raptured for that to take place. But the Greek dictionaries translate tereo as follows: to attend to carefully, to care for, to guard, okay, to keep one in a state in which he is, to observe, to reserve, to undergo something. Now, tereo means to attend to carefully, take care of, guard. And listen to how it's used in Jude 1:1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved of in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. He protects us. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:5 that we're kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about how he will be preserved complete. Tereo again, okay? Now, it's interesting. Kittel, which is one of the most respected of the Greek dictionaries, huge, massive work, one of the most respected Greek dictionaries ever produced, says of the Greek word tereo and its relationship to Revelation 3:10. Listen to this. The same applies to in Revelation 3:10, where the transfigured Christ protects his community against the eschatological temptation. Okay? He protects them. And he guards them and so forth. Now, it's interesting. The Greek word tereo and ek used together carry the meaning of to be kept within the sphere or protected and delivered out of it. Guess what? That's exactly what we believe as post-tribbers. We believe that we'll be kept, protected by God from falling away if we trust Jesus and keep his word. It's for those who keep the word of his perseverance. We'll be kept from the temptations of taking the mark of the beast, falling for the false Christ and the false prophets and so forth. And then we'll be delivered out of the tribulation at the end of the tribulation or by death if we die as martyrs. So if one wished to communicate the idea of removal, they would use the word tereo with apo. Now, it's interesting. That would be tereo and then apo, but it's not. It's tereo ek, okay? Robert Gundry is the New Testament Greek scholar, a professor of Greek at Westmont Bible College for years in Santa Barbara, not far from where we are right here. A nice drive down the freeway of like 45 minutes from here. Beautiful
drive.
incredible drive, man. Yeah, just beautiful mountains that run into the sea and so forth. Gundry writes of ek. The preposition ek appears in John's writings approximately 336 times, far more often than in the writings of any other New Testament author. There is not a single instance where the primary thought of emergence or origin cannot fit. Indeed, does not best fit the thought of the context. Surely, the invariability of meaning in such a high number of occurrences establishes Johannine usage. In other words, of the 336 usages by John, they all fit the idea of emergence from within, being in a sphere first before you come out of it, which destroys the whole pre-trib concept with regard to Revelation 3:10. He goes on to write, if ek ever occurs without the thought of emergence, it does so very exceptionally. This fact incapacitates Revelation 3:10 as a proof text for pre-tribulationism. That's why John Walvoord, the dean of pre-tribulationism, admitted that maybe it's not such a good text for pre-tribbers after all. He goes on to write, although ek does not always imply the actual experience of the evil out of which one is delivered, it does imply the immediate and dangerous presence of the evil. Isn't it interesting? Gundry goes on to write, to keep or protect in a sphere of danger, and that because ek means emergence out from within, the combination of the two Greek words, tereo ek, means to protect believers in a sphere of danger, the tribulation period, with a final emergence out from within this sphere. In the context, therefore, the Revelation 3:10 promise is a promise to be protected in the tribulation period and delivered in the final emergence from within the sphere. I think it's interesting. Chad mentioned the usage of the word ek in Revelation 3, where Jesus says, you know, to the lukewarm, they don't repent. He'll spit them ek out of his mouth. Well, there's a few other usages of the word ek in Revelation, and you can see John's usage and the usage of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as fitting emergence from within, being in a sphere. Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of, there's the word ek in the Greek, out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So therefore, he warns about needing to overcome, so your name is not blotted out, ek of the book of life, your name was there first. Revelation 18:4, when God calls his people out of Babylon, right before the last plagues hit. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, ek, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and you receive not of her plagues. Obviously, to come out of Babylon, and the word ek is used there, means they were in Babylon. In the end times, there'll be believers that need to evacuate Babylon. I think all this is really, really clear. Now, if the passage in Revelation 3:10 only means that the church, okay, will be kept throughout the tribulation, as some have taught. This is, now I'm quoting from someone, and this is something that I read a while ago, that someone was trying to combat the view that we're stating. If this passage in Revelation 3:10 only means that the church will be kept safe through the tribulation, as some have taught, then you have a major problem on your hands. The problem is this: all through the tribulation, saints are being killed on a massive scale. Well, this person misses the point. We're not saying that Christians aren't going to be put to death. Christians are being killed right now. In fact, some estimate that millions of Christians have died through the last 2,000 years. Some say that there's more people being, some of the estimates are that there's more Christians being killed around the world than, because there's so much, the church is so much bigger now than it ever has been. But guess what? The Lord said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. The word right there, I believe in Revelation 3:10, is not phlipsis, tribulation. It's the word parosmos, keep us from the hour of trial, okay? Or the hour of, as many translations have, testing, or the hour of, I think the King James has, temptation. Because parosmos means temptation, and it can also mean trial. It's like a coin with two sides, you know? James uses it when he says, you know, let no one say when he's being tempted by God. He uses the word parosmos. So he keeps us from the hour of temptation. In other words, we're in the sphere of the world, the tribulation period, but he preserves us and delivers us through it, whereby we don't fall into taking the mark of the beast. So I think it's even more interesting when you understand the word parosmos in this context as well. Now, so we've never said, we don't say that, you know, it means that we're going to be preserved physically and not die as martyrs. Of course, there'll be all kinds of martyrs during the tribulation period, even as there's martyrs right now. We're just saying his promises, if you keep the word of his perseverance, he will preserve you from falling into the temptation whereby you would fall away from Christ and deliver you ultimately out of the final eschaton at the end, and you'll emerge out of it unscathed spiritually. Okay? It's all very, very important. In fact, Peter says, beloved, do not be surprised of the fire ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, parosmos, as though some strange thing were happening to you. If you're going through some trials right now, it's part of life, man. Just look to Jesus and seek him and ask for wisdom and pray for perseverance and don't fall into temptation. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of the glory of his glory, you may also rejoice with exultation. Beautiful promise, you know. 2 Peter 2:9, we read, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, parosmos, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. In both places that I've just quoted from, they're present during the parosmos, but they're not removed from the earth, but they're preserved through it. Now, during the tribulation period, we will have radical temptation. I mean, can you imagine not being able to buy or sell right now? I mean, we're going through COVID-19 right now, the whole experience, right? Most of us are in lockdown, and you can meet with just a few people here and there, and there's curfews being placed in different areas and so forth. But can you imagine if now you can't buy or sell unless you take a mark? And we're not saying that that's happening right now. I believe some of the stuff is actually helping people ramp up different, you know, control freaks in government and so forth that will help ramp up a system that the Antichrist will eventually inherit. But it'd be pretty difficult. You would have to pray and seek the Lord for guidance. You'd have to pray to ask the Lord to give you strength not to give into taking the mark of the beast. And you know what? The Lord recognizes that. But if you keep his word and obey his warnings not to take the mark of the beast and to stay close to Jesus and not leave your first love or come back to your first love, you'll be preserved. He'll give you strength. In fact, listen to how the warnings that we must persevere at this time through the tribulation in light of being put in prison, in light of being killed, in light of God's warning not to take the mark of the beast, that we're called to persevere. Listen to this, Revelation 13, 9 and 10. Whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword, they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. You catch that, folks? Calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. That's very, very strong warning, a very, very important warning that we need to heed. In fact, we also read in Revelation chapter 14, after the Lord warns not to take the mark of the beast and says, and the smoke of their torment for those who do will rise up forever and ever. There'll be no rest day and night to those who worship the beast and its image. And for anyone who receives the mark, anyone, that's anyone, folks, anyone who receives the mark of its name, then the angel goes on to warn, because this angel will be flying through the mid-heavens, hasn't happened yet. Obviously, the mark of the beast isn't out then. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Okay? Christians are there at the time. That means Christians will be in captivity. That means Christians will be put to death. That means some will be preserved in the mountains. Some are told, some will go into their homes and he'll protect them. And some will be there to the end, because Jesus said if he didn't return when he's going to return, no flesh would be saved, but he'll return before all flesh is destroyed. But guess what? If I'm keeping his word, I'm saying, wow, he calls me to keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus and have patient endurance. And I'm saying, Lord, that I want to be faithful. Help me be strong. Help me to be faithful. Help me to abide in the faith. Help me to continue. Help me to resist the temptation. Help me to realize it's just temporal and it will destroy my soul. Help me realize that you are my treasure, that there's nothing. Where will I go? You have the words of eternal life. And I'm seeking Jesus. Guess what? He's going to empower you and keep you from falling and give you the power to resist that temptation. So he'll give you power. He'll keep you. Amen. Preserve you from the hour of parosmos, Satan's temptations, and deliver you out of that tribulation period eventually. Amen. Now it's interesting because treo ek comes twice in one verse besides the verse we mentioned. But before I get to that, I love Revelation chapter 7. Because Revelation 7 talks about ek it talks about the word ek coming out of in the context of the tribulation period itself. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13, one of the elders answers saying to me, that's John, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Because John sees this great multitude that no man can number from every nation, kindred, people, and tongue, that have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Who does that sound like, by the way, brothers and sisters?
Sounds like the church.
Yeah. If I talk about people in every nation, kindred, people, and tongue that have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus around the world, I'm talking about the church. You know, you have no verse that says the church is gone. Don't tell me the church isn't in the book of Revelation. It's another argument, but it's right here. Well, guess what happens in the very next verse? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of Ek, guys, the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There it is, guys. You know, there's rejoicing going on because God is showing a picture of the final perseverance of those who endured to the end and came out of the great tribulation. They come out of it. Obviously, they came out of great tribulation, it says. They were, therefore, what? In it. They were in it. By the way, now we're at that one verse besides Revelation 3:10 that uses the word tereo and the word ek in the same exact verse. Before I read it, it's John 17:15. I want you to see how the word tereo is used in a few verses in Jesus' high priestly prayer where he's praying for the protection of the church and how he uses the word tereo a number of times on the run-up to verse 15. Okay? John 17:6. Now keep in mind, the promise in Revelation 3:10 is, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth. Amen. Now that's definitely King James, because I memorized a lot of that book in the King James. So when I start quoting, it comes out King James-ish. But because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptations, which come upon all the world to try those and so forth. So, but we went at the front end of that. Because thou hast kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep thee from, keep tereo, from the, from ek, two different words.
Hour of testing.
Hour of testing. Temptation, parasmos. Now check this out. Back to John now, 17:6. I have manifested your name to men whom you gave me out of the world, ek, of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, it's interesting, because this is 17:6, okay? Now, it's interesting, because this isn't dealing with, this is dealing with the word. He says, the Father gave them, these disciples, these believers, to him out of the world. Isn't it interesting, though? Isn't it interesting that they didn't actually leave the world, right? They were kept out of the world. You know, he literally says, you gave me out of the world, ek, these disciples. So it's interesting. Here he's obviously not talking about being taken out of the physical world, but being what? Kept from the evil world system. Then we read in 17:11, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep, treo, them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. John 17:12. While I was with them, I was keeping, treo, keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition. That is Judas, he did perish, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Now listen to John 17:15, where you have treo and ek together. 17:15. I do not ask you, now this is Jesus praying for the church. I do not ask you to take them out, ek, of the world, but to what? Keep, treo, them from the evil one. Did you catch that, brothers and sisters? Jesus is praying, I do not ask you to take them, ek, out of the world, but to keep them, treo, from the evil one. What's the point there? We can be, treo, ek, protected, right, from the Father, okay, but not, and still be in this world. In other words, in Revelation 3:10, the pre-tribbers say, hey, it's ek, you know, he's going to keep us from the hour of tribulation come upon the world. That means we're not going to go through any of it. That means we have to be off the planet. But Jesus says, with the same two Greek words, I don't pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one.
And he's talking about, I mean, he's praying, and you have the disciples in mind, and what happened to the disciples?
Yeah, well, almost every one of them was martyred.
Right? That's right.
But guess what? They persevered to the end. They didn't give in to temptation. He kept them from giving in to the devil.
And he can do that.
Jesus, you know, went to the cross, and he was put to death, but he finished well, you know, and he's our example. And the strange thing is, we shouldn't be looking for escape hatches, not to, how can I get out of suffering for the Lord? The early church in the book of Acts, when you read Acts chapter 4 and 5, after they were flogged and whipped, says they rejoiced that they were kind of worthy to suffer for their Lord. That's the mentality we need to have for these times that we live in. Not like, Lord, I can't believe you'd let me go through something. But Lord, I know that you'll never let me go through more than I can handle by your grace, because you're a good God. And I want to go through whatever you have for me, because you saved my soul. And you know best. And you're the all-wise God. And I want to shine your light now and forevermore in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.